Joining us today is Jim Powell, editor of Global Changes and Opportunities Report. How are you doing today, Jim?
Fine, Steve, and how are you?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time. As a leading expert on global investing, you've also followed the emerging markets very closely for years, and you suggest that these former Wall Street darlings could begin what you call a long and impressive rebound. Could you walk our listeners through the headwinds that these markets have faced and explain why you see a potential light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, second question first, Steve. I think that if you're looking for growth in the world, you need look no further than the emerging markets. And the reason for that is the same reason that babies grow faster than their parents. You're starting from a very low point, and just about everything you do winds up being a big percentage change. And the emerging markets were doing superbly until around 2008, when the global economy started to fall out of bed and commodity prices started to fall. And a lot of investors got burned pretty heavily, and now they don't want anything to do with the emerging markets. But there's some signs of life there that I think people should look at carefully, and I think if they take positions now, they'll do very well.
Now, interestingly, you note that while most individual investors are avoiding the emerging markets, you also see institutional investors beginning to take a closer look. Could you expand on that?
They have better information, Steve. They have information about the individual markets that individual investors can't get. They have people on the ground. They have analysts within the countries. And they're just beginning to come back, especially to India and South American emerging markets. They are not blind, however. They're not just making broad investments. They're basically moving out of the Asian markets, the Korean fund, for example, Malaya and South Korea. They're just saying that the real growth for the next few years is going to be in India and South America.
Now, turning to South America, one emerging market in particular that's caught your attention is Brazil. What's the situation there?
Brazil is a country in transition. They made some big political mistakes, which had a big impact on the economy. Dilma Rousseff, a very left-wing president, instituted a lot of socialist and welfare programs that bankrupted the country, ran debts way up, hurt the business community. And that came on top of the commodity slide and the slowdown in the growth of the global economy. Now, she's on the way out. Many of her programs are going to be on the way out. We see some upticks in some commodity prices, and they happen to be the commodities and raw materials that Brazil sells. And we're seeing a little bit more strength in a global economy, and China seems to be doing a little better than a lot of the doom and gloomers believed. And the same thing is happening in Brazil that we see in several Asian emerging economies as well. And they're turning more and more to their internal markets and turning more towards manufacturing. And I think if you put it all together, you get a really good case for investing in this South American dynamo.
Now, to invest in this market, you recommend the iShares MSCI Brazil Cap ETF with the symbol EWZ. Can you tell our listeners a little about this fund?
Yes, it tracks the Brazil index, the MSCI Brazil 2050 index. The index consists of a broad group of larger companies in Brazil, and from their small airliner company that's growing very quickly to sugarcane. Basically, what all of these indexes do in your emerging markets is emphasize the companies that are into the basic infrastructure for a country. That's in electricity, telecommunications, cement, foods, and so forth. That's where the growth is going to be for the youngest years or the more emerging years in those markets.
Now, you also highlight India. Could you share your bullish case for this country?
Well, if you don't want to wait for a turnaround to begin, India is the place to go. It is now the world's fastest growing large economy. If you believe the numbers, and they may be inflated a bit, India is on track to grow around 7.5 to 7.6% this year. Some critics say that it's as low as 6%, but 6% is still very, very good. India is a study in chaos from an outsider's perspective. It's got crazy politics. There's a lot of violence. It still has a caste system. You've got horrible overpopulation and a terrible public school system and so forth. But it's a dynamic economy. Everybody wants to work. They'll work as much as possible. Wages are slowly beginning to come up. We're seeing a transition from very, very simple, back-breaking work to more high-tech work. In fact, India is basically the IT capital of the world right now. So if you want something that's already on a roll that I think has a lot of future potential as well, I think India is the way to go.
Now, for investors interested in this market, you recommend the iShares MSCI India ETF, which has the symbol INDA. Could you talk a little about this particular fund?
Yes, as with the Brazilian fund, the MSCI India index is what the fund tracks, and it consists of a broad section of stocks in India, some Tata Motors, which is a big producer of just about every kind of transportation equipment, down to sugar companies.
Now, in your research, you emphasize that these are long-term trends likely to last for many years to come. Before we go, I'd like to ask you to comment on the appropriate investment time horizon that investors should have when considering these ETFs.
Well, since the individual investors have yet to rediscover the emerging markets, I think when this starts to begin, when people realize that they've thrown the babies out with the bathwater, that we're going to see a really good initial spike, probably later this year. From there on out, I expect to see another period of slow but rather steady growth that will last, anywhere from 5 to 10 years. Basically same as the last cycle.
Again, our guest is Jim Powell, global expert and editor of Global Changes and Opportunities Report. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Steve.